Good evening, everyone. Last weekend, I was on a deacon's retreat for the whole weekend. All clergy in the Catholic Church have to do a full retreat once a year, and mine was last weekend. And I was with the rest of the permanent deacons throughout the diocese. And the reason I share that with you is because we've discussed the role of the deacons in the church and so forth. And one of the discussions that came up was every deacon there had someone that they loved deeply, a child, a grandchild, a brother, a sister, or a very close friend that were Catholic that didn't go to church. Everyone did. And as we discussed this, you could hear the pain in their voices when they were talking about their children, their grown children, no longer going to Mass, or their grandchildren. You could see the pain in their face, how much it hurt them. And these are good people now. We're talking people who were trying their best to be good people. But in that, they just don't see the need to go to church. And they were hurting. And everyone had, all of us had someone like that. And for some deacons, they're like, I don't even talk about it anymore. I can't do that anymore. Or I just ignore it, because it always becomes an argument. Another one says, well, whenever we bring up the topic of going to church, it'll get into, well, is it going to make me a better person if I go to church? It could, technically, but there's no guarantee that me coming to church is going to make me a better person. Well, do you think you're a better person because you go to church? Do you think you're a better Catholic because we don't go to church? No, not at all. I'm not a better Catholic because I go to church. I'm not a better person. Okay, then why are we going to church? I'm trying my best to be good. And as I sat around the circle, there was a theme there about goodness. And no matter what the deacons or, and I'm sure you have family, I'm sure some of you do, where your children or grandchildren or good people that you love simply don't go to church. And it's like, no matter what you say, no matter what argument you bring up, it doesn't matter. They just don't want to go. I saw a common theme there, and it was about this issue of being a good person. And I thought this, I'll ask you the same question. How would you answer this? Is it God's will for you to be a good person? It's a good question. And they're like, well, yeah, obviously. It's God's will for me to be a good person. It's certainly not His will for me to be a bad person. That's fair enough. Okay. But what if I was to ask that same question to every baptized Catholic in the world? That's 1.3 billion people. Is it God's will for you to be a good person? And most of them would probably answer the same as we do. Yeah, absolutely. It's God's will for me to be good. It's certainly not His will for me to be bad. That's where it becomes problematic. Why does it become problematic? Well, on this side, you have hundreds of millions of really good people. They're trying to do their best, but in that goodness, they don't go to Mass. On this side, you have a much smaller number of really good people trying to do their best who do go to Mass. It becomes problematic because God's will cannot be divided. God's will, if it's His will, cannot be divided. Otherwise, it's not God. So you can't have this being God's will and this being God's will. It's either one or the other, but you can't have them both. Okay, so where do we go from there? Well, if you put God's will into a context, and the context is your salvation. In other words, everyone wants to go to heaven. Would you agree? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. And when we die, which we all will, we're going to go to judgment. Can't help it. When I am judged, and when you are judged and everybody else, is God going to say, come on in, enter heaven, enter the kingdom of my Father prepared for you? Why? Well, obviously, because you've been a good person. You've tried your best. Is that the criteria that God's going to use? The fact that we are good people. And we really have to understand this, because when we think, oh, it's going to be goodness, that could lead to a very dangerous belief. The belief that it doesn't matter what you do. In the end, everybody's saved. And that's just not true. So we started looking. We need more to clarify this, because now we're on to something here. So we're looking through the scriptures. And we found something. I looked at the story of the rich young man. You know that story very well. You've heard it many times up here, and you've heard it preached many, many times as well about his riches. Well, there's a much deeper meaning to that story than about he was a rich young man. If you take away the word rich, put in the word good, now he's the good young man. So the good young man goes up to Jesus, and what does he say? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Bingo, that's exactly what we're talking about here. How do I make it to heaven? What does Jesus say to the good young man? You know the sacrament, or the sacraments, you know the commandments. And the good young man says, yeah, I do. And I've kept all the commandments since my youth. Now think about that for a second. That's a good person. Doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, doesn't steal, doesn't covet. That's a good person. Jesus doesn't say, okay, good, you're good to go. Go on your way, continue being a good person. Jesus says, follow me. What must I do, Lord, to gain eternal life? Answer, follow me. What does the good young man do? He goes home. He doesn't follow Jesus. Now, he's still a good person. He's still a good man. He just doesn't follow Jesus. There's a confusion that I think we need to clarify. And that's what we associate with goodness. When somebody says, there's a good person for you right there. There's a good man. There's a good woman right there. He's a really, really good guy. What do we associate with goodness? We associate someone who doesn't do a lot of things wrong. Someone who doesn't obviously sin a lot. Or even doesn't sin at all. And that's just not true. We have to really be careful and be clear on what we mean by, I'm a good person. Because we all know that good people sometimes do bad things. You're a good person. Have you always done good things? Or have you sometimes done bad things? Good people are sometimes proud people. I've been accused of being proud many times. I try to be good, but I struggle with pride. And you know a good person can sometimes be a very judgmental person. In their goodness, they become very judgmental. Some good people are sometimes very unforgiving people. In other words, good people sin, and we're sinners. And when good people sin, they have to reconcile themselves with God. And for that, you need to come to church. You need the sacrament of reconciliation. God did not establish his church for you to be a good person. God established himself for you to be a holy person. That's where the disconnect comes in. Can I be a good person outside of the church? Absolutely. No question whatsoever. Lots of good people don't go to Mass. But if you want to be a holy person, which is why God established the church, You need the church. But Deacon Mike, why can't I be a holy person at home? I can pray at home. I don't need the church to be holy. Yes, you do. Because holiness, if it's not fed, dies. So how is our holiness being fed? By partaking in the body and blood of Christ. Period. That feeds holiness. And when you fall, and everyone does, saints included, when you fall, when you sin, when you are proud, when you are unforgiving, when you are judgmental, you need that forgiven. You need that cleansed for the soul. So in the end, when we think about our family, the people we love, there's no doubt they're good people. No doubt whatsoever. We love them dearly. But that's not what we're about here. We're not about trying to be good. We're about trying to be holy. So now answer the question. Is it God's will for me to be good? The answer is no, it is not. God's will for me is to be holy. I hope that helps. God bless.